Off the Ball, GAA.
No motivation. We've a crowd of fellas down there that are training since last November, and obviously we addressed it at the start about the All-Ireland final last year, and that back of the head straight away then after that.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Anyway, we've got a full house. Dara, how are you?
I'm good.
Matthew, how are
good.
You?
Sure.
Colm, how are you?
All good. All good. All good.
What's going on?
All good. All good.
Everybody's still in the job, unlike Liam or Senior.
Oh my God. Oh,
yeah. You were on the verge of calling it yesterday, but because you had a financial inducement for him to stay, you bottled it.
I had to pay up straight away.
Oh, fair play. I'm glad you did.
I still maintain, like, it was a good deal to make. You know, my reward was substantial.
Yeah, but you lost.
Yeah. I only paid a tenth of what I would have won.
Yeah, but you didn't win.
You got 10 to 1 on a bad bet.
I don't mind that. I was willing to do it, and it was a brave bet, because who stays in a Chelsea job that long?
You know the way they go, £10 down, we'll get you €75 in return. You're £10 down, we'll get you nothing.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Just the beauty of possibly staying. I mean, when I made the bet in February...
You were drunk at a stag, just to give people context. Who
I don't
were,
know anything about inebriation.
They were unfamiliar.
That is what I would call projecting. Who said anything about
so you mean that he was drunk on the
who
stag?
Said anything about me? If anything, you were drunk, buddy. I never say anything about drinking, right? But at the time of the bet, right?
I know I was.
Chelsea had won against Wrexham in the FA Cup, and it was a reasonable stint for a senior at the time.
In the middle of a 5-game winning streak.
It was something relatively positive. So I thought, no, I think this guy might be actually in it. I wouldn't say long haul, but long haul for Chelsea is probably a year or so. And then the last few games happened. Now, we did say yesterday when we played the post-match interview from the night before, the Brighton defeat, we did say these are the words of a doomed man.
Yeah.
It's on the record saying that. It was like, when you call a player
was it
like that,
did the exact same thing happen to Maresca?
Maresca, it was building and bubbling, and he was doing it. Maresca had this weird thing in the press conference where he was having to go at the club and the structure and the club.
He was saying it's like being the worst 3 days or something.
Yeah, they didn't back me.
Yeah, and that was...
Was he gone before the next game as well?
No, I think he still had a couple of games left. He went on New Year's Day, didn't he? Or the 2nd of January or something.
Definitely around the holidays. Remember, he was like,
Because Amorim then went a couple of days later.
Oh, sorry. Was it Amorim said something stupid in the
Yeah, Amorim was the Leeds.
The Leeds one, yeah.
Yeah, Leeds away has been very significant this season. But for Mo Salah and Ruben Amorim.
What was the specifics about?
So, Amorim said... The news emerged, that was a Sunday game against Leeds, and on the Friday...
He had the fight with
Jason Wilcox, yeah. And I think he in a very, very kind of unsubtle way, mentioned that in the press conference, and it was kind of the end of it.
Yeah, so Maresca was sacked by Chelsea on New Year's Day. And... comments about his worst 48 hours were after a win against Everton that was in December, so don't know if he had a game after.
Yeah, so he's done a couple of weeks, and I think Maresca was ready to go, like, and so was Amorim to an extent, but I don't think Rossini was. But one of the things he said the other day was like at a performance like this, it won't happen again.
No,
and I remember thinking it won't happen again, you won't be around for it. And no. It is true, and like you were saying, they won't sack him this week because it's the FA Cup semi-final. Sure, they were in as much danger of losing that with him than without him. And in stepped your boy, Callum McFarlane.
Mm. To give him the new old manager bounce.
Yeah.
The old new manager bounce.
There's a decent chance. Look, they'll probably, if they get through the semi-final, they'll probably have to play City, but he could walk away with a trophy this season, Callum.
Callum.
Yeah, big Cal.
Now, did you know he was... he's close to one of the very many football directors, and he's... A bit like the things that survived the nuclear holocaust. He has survived multiple managerial changes now.
Right.
It's always a good sign in a club, isn't it?
Yeah.
You walk in, you go, this guy's on your staff. And like, is he? What's his role? To report back to me.
Yeah.
He was the under-21 coach, and now he's been coaching under senior.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rest of the senior staff, if they're staying or going or what.
And sometimes the people
got the promotion.
Who hosts the lottery win the lottery.
Roberto Di Matteo won the Champions League, of course. as Chelsea interim. This might do the lesser extent FA Cup, depending on what you think of the tournament. So it could be a Chelsea historical thing. You know, you win a big trophy and you move on and do whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Di Matteo's career afterwards, where did he go? Aston Villa, wasn't it?
For a while.
Remember his last game in charge against Juventus in the Champions League? They played like a 4-6 formation. Lost 3-0.
He had a false nine and the English commentary didn't understand it. He's like pearls before swine. Look at these guys.
The great Spain team. They did that.
Yeah, it worked. It worked.
So, you know, it's like...
It was in character for Spain, though. It was a bit... they were trying to be someone they weren't there.
Did he leave Drogba on the bench or something stupid, though?
I just remember, they were well beaten. And sure, he was gone shortly after, months after in the Champions League. But is it this... do you think it hurts for seniors' managerial career?
Yes.
Do you think he's just one of many at Chelsea? Yes.
No, I don't think.
This is a little different, I think.
The bad things have been so publicised.
I just think people think it's really bad because of the way he talks.
Yeah, his character. People aren't having him.
What did he demonstrate positively at Chelsea in his 3.5 months?
Looks good.
Where's the jacket?
Well, together, you know.
They did have
a trainers.
They had a result R2.
Yeah.
They beat Villa.
The start.
the bad Villa. The good Villa came back when they all
bad on form, Villa, yeah.
That was their last win. They won at Villa Park to close the gap to 3 points. Yeah. In the race for Champions League football, which they'd be guaranteed if they finished ahead of Villa at this stage. And since then, they've been pants.
He seemed like he was building good relationships. Remember there was that post-match interview where João Pedro came over, gave him a big hug.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, geez, he's got the players on side here. Like, this is going really well. Yeah. And then from there, kind of went down.
Now, you're right. And he went over to that player who was being interviewed. Was it Pedro? Yeah. It was a European game, I think. And he was laughing.
Yeah, it would have been.
Napoli, wasn't it? Did they win it? They won at Napoli.
Yeah, I think that was that.
Right, yeah. They were one away at Napoli. It's the first time they'd lost in ages. Yeah.
Yeah. It was looking really good at that stage.
Yeah. So, bear that. The original question again, bear that in mind. There is something there. There is a little bit of substance, senior. Do people just think he's a
Puppet? Of course, to make it as a manager at any level, to survive as long as he has done at the places he has done, there's something about him. And I'd say a good championship team should take a risk.
Do you think it's championship?
It might be Leicester City.
Or if he wants Liga.
Liga.
Oh, definitely. Liga.
I don't know about that.
I think he'll learn from this, though. He'll learn, like, maybe not put himself out there.
He's hearing that this morning. That's the worst thing.
Will he learn from this?
Just not to put himself out there, maybe, as much.
Do you think it hurts about, you know, our own Kev talking about him?
Oh, but should we know it does?
That's true. And who was the latest? Sean Davis, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, Sean Davis is a mouth in him. Did you see the Michael Brown latest clip?
But Sean Davis played like 1 year with him when he was like 20 or something.
He has a mouth. Like, this guy went after Michael Brown big time. You'll find it online. And it's harsh.
Really?
Oh, man. It's real bad. So I like... And actually, Sean Davis himself, he has his own thing going on. Do you know those that BBC documentary about those players who went into financial turmoil after poor investments?
Yeah.
So Danny Murphy was probably the most famous example of that. And Craig Short used to play centre-half for Blackburn. So they have this whole players' union thing now because they invested in this company and then didn't get any return from it. He's actually in that group, so I know he has his own problems. But anyway, on the football side of things, he laid into him.
Michael Brown.
Yeah. And so the senior thing actually seems soft by comparison. But that would definitely hurt them, for sure. His ex-teammates talking like that about him. Because apparently he has changed as a person. And nobody wants to hear that. So the next time we see a senior in a job, how do you think he's talking?
Nobody wants to hear that, except that maybe, you know, you were led astray as a young man by football culture, which seems to have been pretty grim in many places. And maybe you come out of that and you go, actually, you know what? I'm not going to be one of those toxic pricks. I'm going to try and be a better leader than any of the people who showed me any leadership. And then it's just you go the wrong way.
I'm glad you said that.
You become
that,
like a sub Jordan Peterson, even worse. It's kind of, I'm a guru. Ooh, follow me. As opposed to like, here, we're going to play this style of football. Yeah. Be your very best person and away we go.
I'm not sure football wants to hear this, but I actually think what he was saying, Rossini, away from the nonsense of how he said it and some of the phrases he used, I actually thought it's a pretty positive way to look at things. You actually would like him to be your manager because he'd back you, you would think. That was the first time he really didn't do it and he's gone.
Yeah.
But of course, at the same time, people don't like the way he talked and the results didn't help. I'm sure he was doomed.
The original sin is the club is a mess.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
who wants the job?
The headline on one of Sam Wallace's pieces, no one's quite sure who's in charge at Chelsea, but it certainly wasn't Liam Rossini. It was a bit peppier than that in the way it was written in the paper, but that's the substance of it. And there are multiple sporting directors who have different responsibilities, and no one seems to be sure exactly who's taking charge or why or what area of the club they're responsible for. And then the Billy Big Bollocks of the players were like, this guy's not here for long. The last guy was better and he's not here for long. And the guy before that, well, he wasn't very good and he wasn't here for long. So
it still seems like they're stuck between that like old thing of we want to win right now, but this new thing of we want to create this project dynasty.
They take our time.
One leader, and they don't really know what they want, and it's resulting in all these managers coming and going. And the player thing is a whole other thing altogether. I don't really know what the hell's going on there. Why they just keep signing all these young fellas? Like,
well, I think it's what you said yesterday about them. The owners just having a bit of fun. They're enjoying themselves.
And there's a belief that the players will go up in value, irrespective of whether or not the results are any good, and therefore we'll be able to profit off that. But like, they haven't built a team. If they were building a team, they would have got some experience through it, an experienced centre back, an experienced old head up front who can come on and seal out games. And they don't seem to be particularly interested in that. Are people interested in the owners and their finances? Because there's been loads of really interesting stuff over the last while. Like, their operating loss last year was 258 million, which seems to be a record. And there was a finance expert on TalkSport just last week saying that it might be in Chelsea's interest to get kicked out of Europe for a season, because that would restart the clock on the debts. Essentially, like, you can't, no double jeopardy. You can't be punished twice for the same crime. So UEFA would say, right, screw you. You're out of European football for a season. And then you can start racking up the debts again from the first season you come back. And they'd be like, oh, all right. It's like one of those bankruptcies that people go to Wales for, you know, so you don't have to pay debts in Ireland.
Yeah. Okay. I generally don't read club statements or don't take too much notice to them when a big figure leaves, because it's usually just political language and nonsense. But this one actually struck me for the Chelsea one. I did go looking for it to see what they actually said about this situation. As the club works to build stability to the head coach position, this is the last paragraph in the statement yesterday after a senior left, we will undertake a process of self-reflection to make the right long-term appointment.
Did Liam Senior write that? This is the Liam Senior statement ever. Self-reflection.
Well, yeah, so they're saying that they think that means that they're going to try and find someone who is going to have Premier League experience or big club experience. And then right beside that, right, that's what the analysis in the Telegraph is. They're listing off the managers. Cesc Fabregas is the top of the list of potentials.
Would he be mad?
Why would you leave Como? Oh my God.
Well, he will.
Being sarcastic.
Like, as in, sorry, as in a destination.
The area, like, it's not on all day.
I know, yeah, place. But like, it's a decent gig.
I'm not for that. Initially, you'd be dismissive of it, like, but it is like one of the nicest parts of the world to live in. It's like,
Ile de Ré.
Why would you
well.
Leave La Rochelle for Rog? Like, yeah, I'm going to go and live in Slough to manage the English rugby team and take all the shit from the English papers, or I can live in Ile de Ré.
Do you mean, are you asking why would he leave Como for Chelsea, or why would he leave Como?
Lifestyle reasons.
Well, like, I can see certain jobs you would leave Como for, obviously, yes, but like, why would you give that up for a basket case?
He can fail at Chelsea and be okay because he has
a reputation,
he's got a much higher profile as a player than, and this shouldn't make sense, but I think in the way, if you're his agent, you're like, look, that's a free shot for you at Chelsea. For Liam Senior, it was like, this is your catapult to the Hollywood Lounge, but if it fails and you miss the Hollywood Lounge, you land in hell, or Leicester. But I think that Cesc Fabregas could take this largely risk-free. He'll come in and go, hey, I'm Cesc Fabregas, yeah, I won a World Cup, what's it to you? And the London press would be like, oh, it's Cesc. We actually have we like you, we respect you. The other people on this list, very quickly, will I go through them?
Yeah.
Andoni Iraola.
Yeah, I think he'll get the job next season.
The Chelsea job?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Xavi Alonso.
I think Xavi now will wait for the Liverpool one.
Yeah.
The Liverpool one seems...
I was reading this. Slot's not going anywhere.
I don't think he would. But that doesn't mean you have to wait that long either.
True.
No, you won't have to wait that long.
I can see Slot staying and also going before the year is out.
That's it, yeah.
Or he stays and actually they sign players.
Well, you and I have, I think, the same opinion about Slot, is give him a third season.
Yeah.
And Liverpool fans think I'm joking when I'm saying that, but I'm dead serious. Give him he's balanced it out, like, one good, one bad. Let's see what it's like next season.
Felipe Luis, who is ex-manager now of Flamengo.
Got sacked after one of the most positive results in a manager being
they
sacked.
Won like 9-0 or something, didn't they? Mm.
Yeah. Now, he doesn't have a UEFA Pro license, but I'm sure they'd find a way around that. Oliver Glasner? Is Oliver Glasner cursed by the Thomas Frank experience? Or the fact that he won a trophy, does that change?
Chelsea would be going against their policy of hiring Rossignol as a yes man if they were to sign Glasner, who's notoriously a no man.
Well, going back to the statement, maybe that is part of their process of self-reflection.
I
think it'll be Fabregas early next season. During the summer, I think Fabregas will leave Como and go take the Chelsea. Mm.
The last one is Marco Silva. Obviously, Silva, Glasner, Xabi Alonso, Iraola, all free if they sign, and Felipe Luis, who's obviously an ex-Chelsea player, if they sign him.
I think Marco Silva would be one of the most enthusiastic people to take it. I think he's bursting for a big job.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with you there.
I think he's having himself as a big manager and probably feels he's a bit underrated.
He might be right.
Yeah.
And like the thing is, right, if you get that Chelsea gig and you sell the malcontents, there is a lot of young players there who are looking for someone who knows what they're talking about and to be that leader that Liam Rossignol was trying to be and project and couldn't quite make work.
So. Silva's subtly becoming a really experienced Premier League manager. You wouldn't necessarily talk about him just because of the job he does at Fulham. Mm. But the guy's
had a lot of other jobs too.
This is his fourth English job.
Was he at Watford?
Yeah.
He started with Hull. He came in at Hull. There was the famous Soccer Saturday clip of them saying, like, where are they getting this guy from? Mm. And he kept them up. Or he did a very good job with them anyway. But they were good. They went down with a bit of passion, bravery. Yeah.
Having experience with that Watford situation would actually be very useful in a scenario like Chelsea, where you're like,
Chelsea, the Champions League version of Watford's Europa League madness of get a manager in, get a manager out. So he would be used to it. He wouldn't feel hurt by it. I don't even think he'd be that affected by it if it didn't work out. And then the next job he took was Everton. So on paper,
why did the Everton not work out?
I think he was at a poor time at the club when it was like, was it Ronald Koeman, him and Sam Allardyce? And all of them should have worked out, but it didn't. I think there was budgetary constraints.
Massive ownership issues.
And then Ancelotti came in and they signed James Rodriguez and it went the other way. And
he's pre-Ancelotti.
I think did he bring Richarlison with him from Watford Everton and they spent a good bit of money on it. And Richarlison wasn't amazing, I don't think, at the start with Everton.
It was only from 2018 to 2019.
Yeah,
that he was, and he was actually out of work then for a year or two.
And then he went to Fulham in the Championship and brought them up.
He's been at Fulham since 21.
So it was, we know how difficult that is.
It was Coleman, Allardyce, Silva, then Duncan Ferguson did a few weeks, and then Ancelotti came in. Silva did 60 games, 40% win rate, which is actually not terrible.
So on paper, Chelsea would be his biggest job. He did the Sporting gig for a year over a decade ago. But this would probably be, objectively, the biggest job he'd take. Well, I think he feels that he's ready for it. I don't know if it's the most ambitious appointment. I don't know what you will achieve at Marco Silva. But I'd say it wouldn't be a joke.
No.
Don't think
it
would be a circus.
And he's more in that, I'm happy to work under these circumstances, but actually talented enough to carry it off.
Yeah, I think he gets it. I actually want to see more from Marco Silva. I want to see what he could do.
You know what he's capable of.
I want to see... you just don't hear from him that much, I suppose, in terms of what we're covering and who we're talking about, because how often are we really talking about Fulham?
Yeah.
And that's all that, as well as that being insulting sounding, it's also a compliment to how he has them playing.
Yeah, I would actually be slightly concerned about Fulham if he does leave. When he does leave, it doesn't seem like he's signing that contract, because I do think they've been punching slightly above their weight over the last little while.
It's not a great
team.
They
didn't spend... I know they signed your man Kevin there towards the end of the window.
Kevin, yeah.
Like, they weren't really doing anything during the summer. And Chiquezi,
I could see his name on Sky Sports beside Chelsea, Marco Silva.
I can really see it. And so he's the outside bet, is he? Sure. Out of those...
No, there's no... Sorry, I didn't look at the odds.
Oh, there's no odds. He's just named.
I'll give you an outside bet from the comments there.
I was going to say Patrick Walsh, is it?
No.
No.
What, they're not having it?
Damien Duff.
Yeah, sorry, that Patrick Walsh has said...
Oh, Duffer! He said as well, there's a few
more qualified than Duff to get the job.
Say again?
Patrick Walsh says, is Felipe Luis more qualified than Duff to get the job?
It's an interesting shout.
I don't think
Duff would be intimidated by that.
No, he wouldn't.
But I don't know if it also would work at all.
That's wild talk.
Because he obviously has nowhere near the reputation over there than he does here. So I don't know if they'd be, if they'd indulge him as much as we do. But he was on telly there. Did you see that?
I didn't see the TV.
He was very good. He's very good. He's unbelievably honest, like, to his detriment. But he'll probably always get something because he's Damien Duff. Mm. But he talks about, like, he didn't become a good person. He didn't like the person he had become. And he said, that would probably happen again if I get a job.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Chelsea would look at that and be like, we can't get him now. But it's a very interesting show. I wouldn't have even considered Duffer. But I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it won't happen. But I like the idea.
Should indulge it for a moment as a thought experiment.
Yeah,
and
totally.
There's an if he was English, they'd be like, he'd be one of those former players who's, you've done a bit of coaching abroad.
I'm sure he means a lot to a certain cohort of Chelsea supporters.
Do you reckon, yeah?
From that time. He played his part on the...
I'm not saying he did. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying, I wonder, does he resonate any more than Eric Johnson or something?
Yeah, but Grianton isn't in the running, I suppose, and Duffer is. Well, he's not in the running either, but he's in our running.
No, we put him in the running.
Is Mourinho out of the running?
I think so.
They're talking about getting him back at Real Madrid as a realistic candidate.
Do you still think that Chelsea is Mourinho's club?
I'd
have a good time for that.
I guess so, yeah. It's like the club that you would most establish, or most... When you come back and you think about Mourinho's career, right, there's obviously this explosion...
Yeah,
where his Porto team cheat Celtic out of a UEFA Cup and then the next year win the Champions League, and it's like, whoa, what is this? And then he arrives and he's just this, again, battering ram in English football that takes over in a way that, like, nobody had. By that stage, Arsene Wenger was looking at Ferguson going, I can't beat you. You're better than me. You're stronger than me. You're more ruthless than me. And Mourinho just came in and went, pfft. Punch Ferguson in the face. It's great.
Yeah. Well, and they got on at the same time, simultaneously building a relationship.
But he respected him. Yeah.
With the way that Wenger and Ferguson,
like,
never got on.
Like, all schoolyard bullies respect someone punching them in the face.
Mm. They never got on, you know. And
but he did call him a voyeur, which if you said nowadays, you'd be like, sorry, I'm suing you for that.
Well, he also called him a specialist in failure. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Could you see that happening?
I think the ship has sailed, but... The ownership is so mad. They don't really know what they're doing. That they might massively overcorrect.
Mm.
One of the lines from the main owner, not the other one, was that managers don't really matter anyway, which is a line that comes from Soccernomics and Stefan Szymanski and Simon Cooper's book, where they were like, look, managers change all the time, but where a club finishes every season over the long run is essentially based on how much money they're spending on wages. You know, the economics would dictate, and they seem to have taken that and gone, okay, that's fact, the manager doesn't matter. Let's just get any El Palooka in and we'll be grand. Which, it turns out, isn't the case. Like, obviously the point that the lads were making was, having an absolutely brilliant manager or having a competent manager, the difference is fairly limited over a period of time if you're not spending money. So Arsenal had Wenger, who was really good, but didn't spend enough money to back him, and therefore he couldn't bridge the gap. The Chelsea lads read this as like, we can literally get the lad who's managing the B team and put him in charge and it'll be grand. It's like, that's not... It's when the analysts and the economists take over.
Yeah.
And you end up with bags of shit.
I've heard this argument... And I thought about it myself. There was that period where Ireland had no government for about 6 months back in 2019. And I was like, this is grand. It's very little difference when we have a government. Just leave it. Don't be governed by anyone. But at the same time, it's never felt like managers or head coaches are more prominent than now. There's an obsession with the person in charge in the sideline.
Yeah.
There is an obsession. And also, how many of them are actually called managers? I think there's very few in the league, isn't it? It's mostly head coach.
And Amorim, one of the other reasons Amorim got sacked.
Yeah. I think
Arteta is the manager.
Who? Arsenal. Arteta is the manager of Arsenal.
He had that change after...
He got it upgraded.
So when you're talking about the period where he had no government, that wasn't when we accidentally legalised E, was it?
Do you remember that?
No, that they just didn't look properly.
That happy night.
And it happened. Yeah.
Then Blind Boy came on Tom Dunn off his head in a yoke and was like, it's totally legal.
Yeah. It happened for a half a year and it was fine. So, but then you have the Jurgen Klopp argument about Liverpool, and it's like, sure, they wouldn't have gone over the line without him. So it goes both ways.
I think that, like, the importance of how much money you spend is definitely going to determine where you finish on average over a period of time. But there are seasons where one brilliant manager can wrestle something away or intimidate the opposition.
You'd have freak differences like Leicester 10 years ago.
Do you think Chelsea'd look at Amorim?
No, but I was thinking there, I don't think they'll look at Amorim, but I was thinking, would Ancelotti take it after the World Cup?
Didn't he say he's staying?
I don't. Yeah, but this, I suppose, circumstances change and all that.
Well,
would they bring it? He's probably their second most successful manager, is he, in the Abramovich Conte. / Clear Lake era?
Conte won the league.
Yeah, but Ancelotti, how many? He won 2010. Did you just win the one? Oh, they both won the one.
Probably depends how the World Cup goes for him as well.
Di Matteo won the Champions League. Tuchel won the Champions League.
Mm.
Those odds, right? Sorry, for Chelsea. Iriola's favourite, 2-1. Silva, 5-1. Cesc, 11-2. Philippe Luis, 7s.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard, 10s.
God, stay away, Frank. Like, do your thing with Coventry.
Glasner's a big price, 12-1. And after that.
I'm quite happy Coventry are back.
Eddie Howe?
Yeah, it's good. Isn't
I'm very nostalgic about Coventry.
Looks like Howe. Millwall. Millwall aren't going to be too far away.
They can stay where they are.
Yeah. You know, if the Chelsea Fulham comparison this week, you know, the decent Fulham team is the Chelsea one right now, would Fulham take their former boy, Liam Rossignol, if Marco Silva goes to Chelsea?
Would they take Damien Duff?
Another former boy, yeah.
A more accomplished former boy. He's part of the class of 2010 to get to the Europa League final.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you take him straight away, do you?
Rossignol to Fulham?
Nah.
I could see it working at Fulham. I don't think you get it. You obviously, it's a smaller club. Fulham fans are going to come at me for that. But yeah, they're a smaller club. There would be far less scrutiny. Far less scrutiny. And he can say whatever he wants. And the players are probably
still think he makes the headline. If he continues the way he is.
Yeah, but
he will for a little while. But then if he ends up doing okay for the first couple of weeks, they'll be like, I'll leave Matty's all right.
I think his Brentism's become adorable at Fulham, whereas they're annoying at Chelsea, because you're only going to hear from him every so often at Fulham.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I don't think they'll go after him, though. I don't think. He probably has to earn a stripe somewhere else.
It's such a weird thing, isn't it? There's so many dominoes, you don't know what way it'll work out like, but. I don't think it'd be the worst. It's not the worst shout in the world. Far from it.
Who gets the bigger job next, Amorim or Rossignol?
Amorim, I think.
Amorim, I would
a longer suggest, body of work. Yeah. And, you know, he's at a higher level. I mean, I don't know, was it? This season, definitely, one of the things is there's been no patience.
Well,
Ange, who broke the record of Clough at Leeds? The accelerated season has
bang on 44 days was someone that, it was the same. Who was 44 days?
Just the most recent one.
Tudor, was it?
Yes. I've forgotten about Igor Tudor.
She even had the weird, even at the very start of the season, do you remember Wolves started terribly and gave Vitor Pereira a new contract?
Yeah.
Gave him like a 3-year deal after losing their first 4 games and then lost like their next 4 games.
And then got rid of
sacked them, yeah. So it's like they tried to break the mold there. They tried to be the ones to be, we're going to stick with you, we're going to get through this, it's going to come good. And then realise, oh no.
So AI is telling me that Sam Allardyce actually has the shortest 30 days with Leeds.
And that was when they got relegated a couple of seasons ago, wasn't it?
It's a wild season even from Chelsea, Forest and Spurs between those three clubs.
Yeah.
I don't know what the number is if you include interim.
Oh wow.
But it's nearly double digits.
Yeah, it would have
just for this season alone.
Has it worked for anybody?
The change, constant changing.
Yeah.
I think it actually did work at Chelsea, funnily enough, at a certain point under Abramovich.
This season,
I don't think so. Well, I'd say you could argue Forest have eventually been grand.
If Forest go win Europa League, then you would have to say.
The manager that Forest started the season with was probably the correct guy in charge, Nuno.
Yeah.
And he had the falling out. Then you have the Ange part where Ange himself says that was the wrong thing to do, that he shouldn't have rebounded so quickly. In a one night stand, like you just
Daesh was there as well, wasn't he?
Daesh and now Vitor, yeah.
That's madness, isn't it?
I've forgotten that. So Daesh takes over from Ange. Ange was there a very short time.
Yeah, he's
39 days.
39 days. Okay,
so there you go.
That might
less
be the record.
Igor Tudor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tudor had an international break to his
favorite. The final record is Frank de Boer at Crystal Palace.
That was the start of the season, wasn't it?
See, it's because he technically right when he gets appointed, it's like during the summer. So the days he has prior
77 days.
Yeah.
Was it
still incredibly short?
I'd say if you were to go 77 days, but take it from the start of the season.
But the spirit of it was like 12 days.
Yeah, it was.
He got like three games, didn't he?
Yeah,
obviously, the shortest of all time though is the former Manchester United manager, who's I'm just blanking on the baldy Dutchman.
He went to Ten Hag.
Went to Dortmund and got a game and a half.
It wasn't Dortmund. Leverkusen.
No, Leverkusen.
Yeah.
Oh. He walked in the door and they're like, oh, this is a disaster. it'll be grand. And then the first game happens and they're like, no.
That
and the
was
second
amazing,
game
was
like halftime. Sorry, could we just get anybody? Is there anybody out there?
It was the harshest statement of all time, if I recall. They were like, yeah, no one in the club was taken to him at all.
That's terrible. Because he worked with his brother in a business outside of sport, between United and Leverkusen.
Property developers, aren't they?
Yeah. Be interesting what happens. It is mad. Like a Manchester
property developers in charge of the country.
It is mad. Like a Manchester United manager could go into kind of relative public obscurity so quickly and just work in property.
Can I give you a list of the quickest reigns?
And yet not surprising in the least.
Yeah.
But stature, yeah, but...
I think there's... Yeah, it's top 10. So Colin Todd at Derby, 98 days. Nathan Jones at Southampton.
Nathan Jones.
Oh, man,
94 days. Terry Connor at Wolves.
TC.
Took over from Mick.
TC.
Mm-hmm, 91 days. David Webb at Chelsea. It's back in the 90s. 85 days. Bob Bradley at Swansea.
Bob Bradley.
Also 85.
He got a whole Soccer AM segment.
Jeff Fenner's on.
Kike Sanchez at Watford, also 85 days.
Kike Sanchez.
Frank de Boer.
Jesus.
Javi Garcia at Leeds.
Oh, yeah. Was he Javi Gracia? It's Javi Gracia, yeah. He's at Watford now again.
Igor Tudor, Les Reed.
Or he's gone now from Watford again, is he?
Les Reed's the boy. He got the Charlton gig. Turned out he was better suited upstairs.
Charlton in a bit of butter. Yeah, we're beaten last
night. So, just to make a public announcement here. Don't be emailing us info@offandball.com. It has been unmonitored for a while. Much to we apologize sincerely. This is a proper thing. I'm very sorry. We haven't been monitoring it for one reason or another. But anyway, I was checking it yesterday and came across this message. Ticket for Matthew is the tagline. I'm going to the game in Prague. I have a spare ticket. If Matt wants it, it costs €200. I live in Czech and travelling to Prague this morning. Give Matt my email or number if he's interested and can meet him in the afternoon in an Irish bar with a phone number, Neil Fagan of somewhere in Czechia.
Damn.
7:55 in the morning of the game. Wow. You would have just been waking up after your epic journey.
I think I was on the show at that exact time.
Yeah, you were. That was your call time, yeah.
I was in the square.
Oh my God.
I was in the square, yeah. Jesus, that is...
You didn't miss anything. It wasn't only the greatest upgrade that I've ever been at in my entire life.
When you told me all about it as well when I got back.
Anyway, look, I apologise to you. I apologise to Neil. We'll do better in future.
Yeah. I love the suggestion. I can meet him in an Irish pub.
I know.
That's it. Yeah. Nowhere else. It's the only place.
There's not many of them. Yeah, it's really tough.
Could have been.
I might have to go and deal with this myself.
I'd understand if you had to.
Just have to leave, lads.
That's fair enough, man.
I think I might just go here now. Yeah, just tent a bit.
You wouldn't have left your pals.
Well, I'm leaving my pals now.
Wow.
I'm leaving my pals.
It's gone.
Wow.
He's gone. He's not happy. He's not happy one bit.
See you later, man. Good to work with you.
In a bit, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good to work. We got the HR meeting.
Take the next few hours off, anyway.
One. All the best, boy. That's sad, isn't it?
Look what you've done to the man.
Well, I didn't do anything.
Man.
It was Neil Fagan being generous. Come on, Neil.
You just lost the guy. There'll be a club statement coming now about you.
44 days.
Look at that, sad, isn't it? It's still there, the shot.
It's lingering.
It's like Clint Eastwood during the John McCain campaign with the empty chair. That didn't work out for them.
Don't see that very often now.
No, I think that's the first, I'd say. Whew. Someone left the show. That's like Preston from the Ordinary Boys getting up and leaving, never mind the Buzzcocks.
You might see him tomorrow. You might.
Well, look, it's a Thursday, so we probably won't see him until next week anyway. But
No, he's working tomorrow.
He's working tomorrow.
I know, but I ran on camera.
But he won't work with you again, I'd say. Yeah.
Not to do with me.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what you're
saying. He got up and left. God. He was good to work with all the same, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Good. But we give him a good reference.
Big last to the team, will you, after that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe McGuckin.
Oh, yeah. You had to be there.
Yeah, back today. In fact, we're going to have two in a week now. So Joe McGuckin, fascinating character. I think he's one of those guys, I'd say, if this makes sense, his face is more familiar than his name for a lot of people. I think you'll definitely recognise him if you're on social media. He's writer, producer, podcaster.
Actor.
I think he would say, first and foremost, he's a writer, a comedy writer. He's on with Darren Conway, you'll see a lot of him. He's actually upstairs here in Go Loud a lot.
They're brilliant together.
Yes.
Very funny.
And he wrote this amazing short film as well, loosely based on his childhood. So he's he grew up in Summerhill in the inner city, and he now lives in Coolock. But there's so many strings to his bow, and he's a big Samuel Beckett fan. In fact, his son is called Beckett, and he went over to America to appear in a Beckett play.
Waiting for Godot.
Waiting for Godot. So we've that live later on. That's going to be very good. And also, we were talking to a man from Skerries, an Irish filmmaker, whose current movie, with his name in the title, is top five worldwide. It is called Lee Cronin's The Mummy. And we spoke with Lee Cronin, didn't we?
Yeah. Unbelievable force of nature.
I think that was one of my favourite chats ever.
I think it's one of those kind of scenarios where somebody is a global phenomenon and Irish people are somewhat unfamiliar.
Yeah.
But over the next period of time, everyone's going to be like, oh, wow. Oh, right. Wow. Potentially because the horror genre in Ireland is not as successful as it is in other places. And that's part of the chat that we had. But
that's a really interesting concept. Because we were talking about kind of Irish folklore and stuff, it's kind of steeped in ghosts and those type of tales. But yeah, like it's wouldn't have been something you'd watch with your friends growing up. Horrors, like actual horrors. You might watch like Scream or Scary Movie, but you're not watching Poltergeist and Halloween and stuff like that. That was never really...
The Exorcist.
Yeah, that wasn't on the radar.
The power of the cross compels you.
We talk about that, don't we? About the Irish attitude towards horror films.
Yeah, I'm very interested in this stuff recently, listening to Tommy Tiernan a good bit talking about, you know, that other world aspect of Irish storytelling and how it seems to have gone a bit. And the Changeling is this character in a lot of Irish folklore. I was at a gig last week in Belfast, Roche, and before her there was a Scottish piper on, and she did this incredible story about a changeling in Scotland. And so that's all part of our kind of Celtic mysticism stuff, but we kind of turned our backs on it for some reason, a little bit like the language. Like, let's reorient ourselves and start telling these stories again, because it helps to translate the groping ordinariness of everyday life.
Lee Cronin directed Evil Dead Rise back in 2023, and that movie made $150 million for Warner Brothers. So he's their golden boy in the genre at the moment and has a hell of a production crew around him. He has his own production company, of course, Wicked Good. He lives in Wicklow, from Skerries. Big Liverpool fan, so we got the sport eventually. But that chat is all around it, but probably about Irish culture, movie influences.
Yeah.
And then its link with sport.
You've seen just about every movie ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. You're a good movie man as well. I didn't realise.
Yeah, definitely. I have my loves for certain things, you know, but I was always thinking, well, would I ever be a film critic? But I was like, I couldn't because I can't watch horror.
Am I right in saying you were in a movie at one point, weren't
yes,
you?
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
Good research.
Leave it at that.
Good research, good interest.
Yeah, I remember seeing that before.
And you have previously written about your love of film.
Yeah.
In an interview you've done. Yeah. We never really get to talk about that. I mean, movies in general on the show.
No, we should do a bit more of it. My first gig out of college was movie reviewing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm just checking here. At the moment in the US, number one is the Super Mario Galaxy movie. Number two is Project Hail Mary. Number three is Lee Cronin's The Movie.
Wow.
And globally, worldwide to date, it's already up to number 27, which is just behind things that you've already heard of, like 28 years later.
Yeah.
It's like 20 million behind that, and it's only been out a weekend.
Okay,
and
that's global.
Out. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's globally year to date, and it's okay. Obviously just out last weekend.
Yeah, last States. Friday, yeah.
Wow. So okay, already.
Great. So US is playing it.
37 million in a weekend.
Yeah, so he's one of our great exports, and was just strolling around the office here. And from certain angles, head off Ryan Gosling. it's unbelievable. It was uncanny. And so that's out now, isn't it? That's posted on our YouTube. You'll see it.
Podcast platforms.
And you'll see it on social as well, clips, and then we'll have it on the show soon as well, the actual interview. But today we're live with Joe McGuckin, so
yeah,
should be very good. The return of You Had To Be There. And we'll continue apace with the Manchester City talk, I'm sure.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Off the Ball. GAA.
No. No motivation. We've a crowd of fellas down there that are training since last November, and obviously we addressed it at the start about the All Ireland final last year, and that back of the head straight away then after that.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.